Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Two-man car. Jesse Romero, myself, Ruben Nava. We are 10-8. We are open for calls, and we are here to give you some Catholic intel. Good morning, Jesse.
Reporting for duty, sir. 10-8.
All right.
Hey, Ruben. Today's going to be a show that's going to be emotional for some people, but not for me. I'm just, we're going to present the show like Sergeant Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Sign your ticket here.
Yep.
We want to talk about Medjugorje, and we've been doing a lot of reading on Medjugorje since last night, Ruben and myself, reading all the relevant documents. So we'll try to bring you up to date, and we'll give you our take as well. There's a timeline, Ruben. I think that it'll be good for us to go through as a point of departure, and then from there, you know, we can start adding some other stuff to it. But I think the timeline is very good. It's just a timeline of the church's response to Medjugorje. So here it goes. 1981, okay, apparitions of Medjugorje begin. 1984, local bishop, Diocese of Mostar, forms a commission to investigate the events in Medjugorje. 1986, bishop submits a negative decision about Medjugorje to the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, which at that time was led by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict. 1986, under Cardinal Ratzinger, he rejects the findings of the bishop's commission, disbands the commission the local bishop created, and creates a new commission to investigate Medjugorje. From that point on, the local bishop and all his successors were stripped of all jurisdiction over the apparitions of Medjugorje. Now, that's interesting, Ruben. I don't really know why that happened. But again, the original bishop of Mostar said that nothing happened here. And then that was rejected in 86 by Cardinal Ratzinger. I don't know what happened in between that time, but let's continue. 1991, the new commission issues an official statement about Medjugorje. They have one of three options to choose from, as they do in all apparitions. Number one, certain of supernatural origin, like Guadalupe, for example. Mm-hmm. Two, not yet certain of supernatural origin. Number three, certain of no supernatural origin. The commission set up in 91 on Medjugorje. They chose option number two. They said, not yet certain of supernatural origin. So the summary of the 1991 commission makes the following statements. They said that it cannot yet be determined whether Medjugorje is of supernatural origin. Two, that pilgrims are allowed to visit Medjugorje. Three, that priests are allowed to go there to tend to the spiritual needs of the pilgrims. 1991, present day, the decision of the 1991 Medjugorje Commission remains the official position of the church regarding Medjugorje. 2010. The Vatican forms a new commission to investigate the apparitions of Medjugorje. The commission is headed by Cardinal Camillo Ruini, retired Vicar General of Rome, and is made up of 16 members. Noticeably absent from this commission is the Bishop of Mostar. 2014. The Cardinal Ruini Commission completes its investigation of Medjugorje and submits findings to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. 2/11/17, most current developments. Pope Francis appoints Archbishop of Warsaw, Poland, Archbishop Henry Hoser, as papal envoy to Medjugorje. 3/30/17. Papal envoy Archbishop Hoser arrives in Medjugorje to evaluate the pastoral needs of Medjugorje and reports back to the Holy Father. Upon his arrival in Medjugorje, Archbishop Hoser made the following statement to the crowd gathered there, okay? Which, by the way, it's very positive. Look what he says. He says, we call her here the Queen of Peace. Therefore, that honoring so intensive here is of the greatest importance and is necessary to the whole world. We need a heavenly intervention. The presence of our Blessed Virgin Mary, that is this intervention. It is God's initiative. Therefore, I would like to encourage and fortify all of you on behalf of the Pope as his emissary. Those who come here discover something extraordinary. They discover a huge range of profound spirituality. We can say that devotion in Medjugorje is very Christ-centered. Medjugorje is a very fertile land from a religious perspective. In these years, we can count 610 religious and priesthood vocations born in Medjugorje. When we are aware of the crisis of vocations, it is clear that there is something new here, something remarkable. The specific role of Medjugorje is extremely important here. You, my dear friends, should be the carriers of the joyful news. Say to the whole world that in Medjugorje, we can find the light again. We need those special places of light in the world that is sinking into darkness. Okay? Almost done here. May 2017. Ruben, you got the article in front of you. You want to pick it up?
Okay, May 2017. The findings of the Ruini Commission, which was so esteemed by the Pope Francis, are made public. The commission recommends that the first 7 days of apparitions be approved and that the Medjugorje be turned into a pontifical sanctuary. We'll get back to that. Pontifical sanctuary. The commission made no recommendations about any of the apparitions which occurred after the first 7 days. We are currently waiting for Pope Francis's actions based on these recommendations. And then in August of 2017, Papal Envoy to Medjugorje, Archbishop Hozer, gave an interview in Poland in which he said, among other things, the following. He said, every indication is that the apparitions will be approved even as early as this year. That was 2 years ago. Specifically, I think it's possible to recognize the authenticity of the first seven apparitions as proposed by the Ruini Commission, Hozer said. Besides, it is difficult to get another verdict because it's difficult to believe that 6 years will lie for 36 years. What they say has been consistent, and they are not mentally incompetent. A strong argument for the authenticity of the apparitions is their faithfulness to the doctrine of the Church. Okay. In any event, this movement will not stop and should not be stopped because of the good fruit that grows out of it, Hozer said. It is one of the most alive places of prayer and conversion in Europe and has a healthy spirituality. Then on May 31st, 2018, Pope Francis nominated Archbishop Hozer a second time as special apostolic visitor for the parish of Medjugorje on May 31st, 2018. So according to the statement released by the Holy See's press office, the mandate will last for an undefined period and ad nutum sancte at the Holy Office's disposal. Once again, Archbishop Hozer will exercise an exclusively pastoral office in the continuity with his first mandate, which came to an end recently. The Holy See's press office explains the mission of the apostolic visitor has the aim of ensuring a stable and continuous accompaniment to the parish community of Medjugorje and the faithful who go there as pilgrims and whose needs require particular attention. Yeah, you see those words that we hear often in today's language, pastoral and accompaniment, you know.
Well, here's what's happening. Let me just mention something. There's so many people that are going there because so many Catholics are seeking spiritual consolations. And here's what's dangerous. Spiritual consolations can come from angels or demons. And a demon can give you a spiritual consolation as well. This is church teaching by all the exorcists that quoting St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. And so what's happening, the church kind of realized we've got thousands and thousands of, you know, let's just say low information, simple, pious Catholics. My parents went.
My mom went too.
You know, they're going over there because they're trying to strengthen their faith, or they're trying to grow in their faith or in their love of God. And as a result of that, the church realizes, you know, we better flood this place with priests and confessionals and rosaries and stuff. And so it's kind of a pastoral nightmare because it's turned Reuben into a big tourist attraction, despite the fact that you can see this thing is not going to get further than what we see here. I think this is going to be the definitive statement where, you know, this Ruini Commission, this will be the last thing we hear about it, that the first 7 days are worthy of belief. Something happened there. some authentic apparitions of the Mother of God to these visionaries occurred. And after that, all the other years, nothing happened. Nothing supernatural. Nothing happened. And nothing's going to change. Trust me, that's going to be the definitive statement on this forever. But go ahead.
Okay, so on July 22nd, 2018, the most significant date in the history of the Medjugorje apparitions, since the beginning of the apparitions, Archbishop Henrik Hoser moves to Medjugorje and begins his assignment as apostolic visitor for the parish of St. James. With this action, the Vatican has effectively placed Medjugorje under its direct control and guidance. A second historic and hugely significant event happened on this day as well. At the same evening mass of welcome for Archbishop Hoser, the papal nuncio for Bosnia-Herzegovina, Monsignor Luigi Pizzuto, celebrated the Holy Mass. A first for any Vatican official. The papal nuncio accompanied Hoser and read a letter from Pope Francis announcing Hoser's appointment in Medjugorje. So, you know, I have my thoughts on that, but in his homily, Archbishop Hoser spoke about why people come to Medjugorje. Pilgrims come to Medjugorje from faraway regions from approximately 80 countries of the world. So,
We'll continue.
We got our
own thoughts. You'll hear our thoughts on this, obviously, after we read some of these more official pronouncements. Ruben and me will give you our analysis, our reflections.
All right. Don't change that dial. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Okay, that's right. Jesus 911. We are back. We are talking about Medjugorje, and we have my partner with me, and we are discussing some of the things that have taken place recently, and we were reading a timeline of what the events. And so we got to the point where a papal nuncio has, you know, accompanied.
Let me mention something about this, the Medjugorje thing, as we continue on the timeline. First of all, as Catholics, let's not lose sight of what the church teaches. Our faith is in public revelation. What does that mean? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's publicly been revealed about Jesus Christ is what is de fide. We must believe that. That's revealed by God. That's not revealed by men. That's called the gospel. That's called the good news. Now, there are apparitions in the church that have occurred since, I think, the second century. The Blessed Mother appeared to St. James. First apparition that we know of. Apparitions don't supplant the gospel. Apparitions aren't above the gospel. Apparitions simply occur throughout the course of the church's life in different countries to different people to remind them of the gospel. So an apparition doesn't modify, doesn't tweak, doesn't amend anything to public revelation. You can actually get to heaven and die in a state of grace if you don't believe, you don't have to believe in any apparition, not even the ones that are approved, and you can still get to heaven because that's not a criteria to be saved. To be saved, you must believe in what's de fide, divine revelation, private revelation. What it does, it strengthens your faith, like the Mexican, like the Aztecs and Mexicans in Guadalupe. It strengthened their faith in 1531. You know, in Akita, Japan, it strengthened the faith of the Japanese and Catholics in 1973. But all it does is remind people of public revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ruben, I thought that'd be important for us to throw in there real quick.
Yeah, I think so too. So that article we just went into, it was a timeline, but you could see from what they lay out, they spend most of their time talking about this last bishop that has been placed there from the Vatican. So the Vatican has now got their hands on it. They're running it, as opposed to the Franciscans they're still there, but the Vatican is now overseeing it with their bishop there. So,
and I'll tell you, Ruben, what concerns me. Here's what concerns me is, my mom and dad have been there. I know a lot of people. I've never been there. And they say, yeah, it's a very prayerful spot because you got people from all over the world going there and going to pray. But it's also, it looks like a Disney, it's like a Catholic Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of gift shops, a lot of stores. There's a lot of commerce there. Yes. It's a booming business.
Yep.
Here's again, I just don't like the church to get this whole thing, you know, follow the money. It concerns me when there's a cash cow and now there's going to be no objectivity. And I say that with all due respect, the last two popes whom I loved, Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, they were given $600,000, in payments, as donations, you know, as gifts by Cardinal McCarrick. So now you kind of see why, this is maybe why his investigation, people turned a blind eye to what he was doing when he's shoveling this type of money into the Vatican. I see the same thing can happen here. This is what's dangerous. When this becomes a big business, and now they're sending money out, you know, to friends in the Vatican and stuff, you know, the human side of our concupiscence can kick in, and we can start saying, you know what, just kind of like turn a blind eye and let these people do whatever they want. We get a nice little donation, you know, every couple of months. That's the danger with all of this, Ruben. It loses its purity.
You know, remember in the first few lectures of the academy, they tell us that we have to stay away from taking gratuities at places that we frequent to eat or coffee shops, because what does that mean? That means that we could be compromised if we have to make a decision, an arrest or citation, anything. Yeah. We're saying, well, this guy's been giving us discounts on all our food. You know, we're really gonna, you know, turn him away or put him in handcuffs. So I'm just saying that it gives me pause when I see that. And, you know, yes, your parents went to Medjugorje. Yesterday I was talking to my dad. I was at his house and he mentioned, and I had remembered my mom had gone to Medjugorje. And so I said, Dad, well, what was her takeaway on it? What did she think? You know, she's very devoted to Our Lady. And she went there with good intentions. And he said that when she came back, she was, she thought that it was very commercialized and that it was a place that was for profit, you know, and it didn't take away from the people who were going there with good intentions, but it just kind of left a bad taste in her mouth that, you know, it's like, you know, when you say, hey, we're going to go to Hawaii, which island are you going to? Well, if you go to like Waikiki, it's very commercialized. You go to a place like Kauai, then it's very, almost back like nature, you know, you're not
like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. And that's all I'm saying about this. But
my parents said the same thing. They went once, they were one and done. They never went back. They were Mary and devotees, part of the Legion of Mary, but they just said, there's something fishy here. There's just too many people are making a lot of money out there. And my mom and dad were unsettled. I think that's the best word I can say. When they came back, they were just very unsettled by what they saw. But let's continue.
Okay, so you know
we're going through the timeline here.
Yeah, I do want to. You think want to wrap that up, or because it's really it just kind of talks.
Yeah,
a little
we're
bit
pretty
more.
Much done with the timeline. Let me just mention one more thing that within the timeline of that's not mentioned that I'm just going to throw in addition to here is that one of the things that I've had kind of a concern with, you know, just using just common sense and good, you know, my good police investigative skills, I've always said to myself, the other apparitions in the world, they were basically 2, 3, 4, you know, 5 visits, 5 messages and done.
Yeah.
And I just have always had something in the back of my mind. I'm saying something doesn't sound right here where this has been going on for over 30 years. Something's wrong here. And it's funny. Their last two popes, I didn't know this till I was starting to do research, they believe the same thing that I've believed. Here's what Pope Benedict said, okay? During, I'm going to quote Cardinal Ratzinger under his election of the papacy. Bishop Parra quotes Cardinal Ratzinger. He says this, during my official visit to the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, I not only expressed my doubts, but also my disbelief. And so this is the Bishop of Mostar in Medjugorje, in the apparitions of Medjugorje. The Holy Father, Pope Benedict, who prior to his election was the prefect for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, replied with this thought. This is Pope Benedict, quote, we at the Congregation always ask ourselves how a believer could possibly accept as authentic apparitions that occur every day for so many years. That's exactly, I've thought that for years. I didn't know Pope Benedict thought the same thing. He's not the only one. Pope Francis says the same thing. On May 14th, 2017, Pope Francis said the following. He said this. I mean, he had some very, very negative things to say. He says, Pope Francis says, these supposed apparitions don't have much value. And he said that to a French paper, the Agence France-Presse, the French press. He says, the woman they saw is not the mother of Jesus. Now, those are strong words that the Pope just said. He said, the woman they saw is not the mother of Jesus, the Pope said Saturday, May 24th, 2017, on his return from a trip to Portugal, where he just finished canonizing the two young shepherds who had visions of the Virgin 100 years ago in Fatima. The Pope said an investigation is underway by the church and had thrown up doubts regarding the Medjugorje apparitions. Pope Francis said, May 24th, 2017, the Mother Madonna, or Our Mother, is not the Madonna chief of service for sending daily messages. Close quote. And then he said, these supposed apparitions don't have much value. I'm giving my personal opinion, so he does qualify with that. But it's obvious, who thinks the Virgin would say, come to this place tomorrow at this time, and I'll give a message to a seer? Close quote. And however, the Pope was more cautious about the original 1981 apparitions, which he did not immediately reject. He says, on the original apparitions, the ones that the children had, the inquiry says more or less that the investigations need to continue. However, in November 2013, he did express some doubts when he said again, he's already said this twice. In 2013, when he became the Pope, in 2017, a few short years ago, he said, the Virgin is not a chief of the post office who would send messages every day. So, Ruben, two popes have said what I've been thinking for years. I didn't know that we were all thinking the same. And I'm just saying this because in light of everything we know about Our Lady, this has never happened before in the tradition of the church.
Yeah. Well, Medjugorje has been the object of controversy, you know, between the local bishop and the Franciscan pastors of the apparition site. And there was a Monsignor Zanuck, as well as more recently Monsignor Perig. They did and do not recognize the supernatural character of the events. And they said that their judgment in the matter seems to be of a definitive nature. But, you know, on the other hand,
they're the two former bishops of that location.
On the other hand, the verdict of then Yugoslavian Bishops Conference in April 10th, 1991, which is more nuanced and can be summarized in the following sentence. On the basis of the investigation so far, it cannot be affirmed that one is dealing with supernatural apparitions and revelations. So the first two bishops have said there was nothing supernatural. They didn't find anything that would appear to them as it. And in fact, they said it was not supernatural. They didn't say they were unsure. They said absolutely not. And then they were relieved of their posts. And
what happened there?
Yeah. So it's unknown. But the Ordinary of Mostar has not been in charge of this question since 1986. And then Cardinal Ratzinger relieved Monsignor Zanuck of the dossier and put the matter in the hands of the Yugoslavian Bishops Conference. And, you know, so we went through the timeline already, but the second group that Pope Benedict, well, it was then Cardinal Benedict, put together was a group in 1991, and they said they were unable to determine if there was something supernatural. And now we get to the third commission, which, well, and then they made this, the Pope Francis put this Polish bishop in charge, and now they're kind of singing a different tune, but singing a...
This is called the Ruini Commission, right?
The Ruini Commission, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll get to that right now then.
Okay, well, we'll give some more of our thoughts about this. Yeah, I too have some concern here, so I know a lot of good Catholics that believe in it.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we're back talking about Medjugorje. And just before we get into the next article, I did want to share, it was a very good YouTube video from a site that I am very familiar with and I trust. It's Census Fidelium. I bet you a lot of our listeners look at things from them. Father Chad Ripperger does a lot of talks on that.
A lot of FSSP homilies are placed there.
Absolutely. And then there's it's talking about Medjugorje in this one video I watched. And it was, they were, the priest who was making the case for, against it, actually, he was to be cautious of it. He reminded us that at Lourdes, right after Our Lady of Lourdes appeared to Bernadette, there were a bunch of other people that were coming forward and claiming to have visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There was one girl by the name of Mary Bernard. She claimed that she saw the Holy Family, you know, and that she didn't actually say it was Joseph, but the male was playing with his mustache. I remember him saying that. And then they had the local bishop, because that's who's in charge of it. The one who to render judgment is the local ordinary, the local bishop. And that local bishop came up and he said, I thought it was quite interesting. He said, he was asked to render judgment, and he says, as far as I can judge, that they are not supernatural celestial beings, do not make futile remarks. They aren't frivolous or familiar. You know, if these children say or do unseemly things, they must be scolded and treated with severity. And so 100 years later, the local bishops at Medjugorje said, after the interviewing the seers, I can say with certainty that there is nothing supernatural. They are not credible. And then another bishop who was asked if he was against the apparitions. They asked him, are you against the apparitions, you know, against apparitions in general? He says, absolutely not. I've been to Lourdes like 8 times. I've led pilgrimages. I've been to other approved apparitions. You know, he said, I should be really glad as a bishop that, you know, who would not want a Lourdes in their own diocese? He said it would be great. It would be wonderful. But this is really striking. He said this, but I cannot before my God claim these apparitions are authentic or supernatural. I myself am a sinner and unworthy to be a bishop, but I believe it would be the worst of all sins of my life to let this falseness pass for truth, knowing that it's a lie. So that was powerful. You know, it almost sounds like Vigano, you know, when he's saying, I can't go to my death knowing all these things and not saying something about it. And you know, Cardinal Ottaviani, the priest in his talk, he talks about Cardinal Ottaviani. You know, he was the prefect of the CDF, the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, before Cardinal Ratzinger, right? This was like during Vatican II. And in 1951, he said, there's no doubt the church does not wish to cast a shadow over the wonders worked by God. What is desired is simply to keep the faithful watchful over what comes from God and what doesn't come from God, but could come instead from his or our adversary. So he's saying the evil spirits could be causing some of these things. The church,
Ruben, and this is the doctors of the church teach this, that demons can give you spiritual consolations, apparitions. They could appear as angels of light,
right?
Make you believe that what you're seeing is something from heaven. And so this is something that the Bible attests to, and the great mystics and the scholastics of the Middle Ages, they write about this.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola wrote a lot of thought about discerning spirits, good spirits and evil spirits.
That's right.
So he
nailed it.
Yeah, and so what he says here in conclusion, he says he concluded with our Lord Himself has put us on guard against false prophets, who show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. For this reason, the church has the right and the duty to judge the truth and the nature of facts and revelation. And it's the duty of all good children to submit to that judgment. So, and we can get into some of the fruits. And
Ruben, I'll tell you what's one of the things that's, well, one of the bad fruits is here. I'll just put it out there, is that what's happening here is that you're having an alternate magisterium set up. And what I mean is, I've heard good people say, good Catholics, they'll say, I don't care what the church says, I believe in Medjugorje and everything that they say in Medjugorje.
I have good friends that say the same thing, Jesse.
So look at, take those statements, Ruben, at face value. In their hearts, the magisterium of the church, which is perennial and timeless and guided by the Holy Spirit, they're willing to supplant that and say this new phenomena in 1981, what happened there, because it makes me feel good because my rosary turned to gold, I'm going to believe everything it says, even above and beyond what the magisterium says, because if I have to pick one or two, I'm going to pick the messages at Medjugorje. So that's what's that at setting up in the hearts of Catholics an alternate magisterium. So let me ask you, is that good fruit? No, that's the fruit of disobedience. And so that's a huge red flag for me, Ruben, as I've traveled around the country and talked to good Catholics. And that's the statement that they make over and over to me. And I'm saying, listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
We believe in public revelation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, divine revelation. That's De Fide. Everything else is basically tinsel on the tree or ornaments on the tree. They don't supplant the gospel. The gospel is the tree. The gospel is Christ.
Yeah, exactly. And so we should look at what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? The 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit are charity, joy, peace, benignity, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continence, and chastity. And so, when people have these devotions to Our Lady, you know, even saying the rosary, going to Mass, a lot of these people at Medjugorje have a lot of these devotions. And, but are these external practices, are they supposed to be taken as the rule to judge whether it is good or bad? But what about people, what about groups like the SSPX, who are saying a lot of masses, a lot of rosaries, a lot of, they're holy people. What about people in the SSPV, the Pius the Fifth, they're Sede Vacantis, but they say a lot of masses, a lot of rosaries. So you wouldn't say he judged them based on the fruits that they're putting out. So by the same token, this can't be the criteria to be that this, because of the good fruits that you see out of it, that it's authentic. You just can't make that jump because there are other bad fruits that are coming on
let me give you a good example, Ruben. I like the way you're trekking in the right direction. We're thinking the same here. And here's what happened. Here's what's dangerous when you depart from the guidance of the church. You end up traveling into a very dangerous path, because what you're doing, you're knocking down the walls of safety when you're saying, I believe in this apparition above what the church says. Okay, if the church denounces it, I still believe in it. So you're pretty much setting yourself up as your own magisterium. And again, St. Ignatius of Loyola talks about discerning the spirits. You're saying above and beyond anybody else, I can discern what's from God and what's not from God. And let me give you an example of something that apparently had good fruits. The Order of the Legionnaires of Christ, okay? That religious order is replete with great priests. They're trained well. They're properly trained well. They're Thomist. There's so much evidence of good fruit in this order. They were the largest and the fastest growing order for decades. They had more people in seminaries than anybody else. But then what happened? Well, we ended up discovering that their leader, their founder, Father Maciel Maciel, he was a moral monster. Mm-hmm. Exactly what he was. And so it should be obvious, this case here, that Satan can and does orchestrate good fruit while reaping less obvious, but even greater bad fruit, kind of under the radar, that satisfies our concupiscence. And again, this is why our ability to discern good spirits from bad spirits, we need to trust the church to guide us. The Legionnaires of Christ is a perfect example of everything on the outside. It looked phenomenal. This was the wave of the Catholic Church. These were the militant priests that were coming out of Vatican II. And you know what? And then we find out that it was rotten at the core. The head was absolutely rotten. And again, this is why we have to say, instead of, I'm going to determine what's right and wrong regarding this apparition, you got to have to let the church speak.
Yeah. And it's the God can bring good out of something evil.
Oh yeah. Okay?
So that's, we got to recognize that.
Absolutely.
That's the very nature of
and
God.
And he's brought a lot of good through the Medjugorje apparitions,
yeah.
A lot of conversions, a lot of metanoias. He's brought a lot of good through the Legionnaires of Christ.
And so that's, you know, the very nature of God and the spiritual combat in which all souls are or ought to be engaged. But it's never permitted to choose or enable something evil so that God can bring good out of it. So if the apparitions of Medjugorje have been judged falsely by the church, which they have which they have, then whatever the good fruit is claimed for the phenomenon of Medjugorje must have some other explanation than the supernatural character of the apparitions. So that explanation must be natural or diabolical, or the power of God overcoming the forces of evil to bring about good. So the good fruit of a Medjugorje can only be judged to be a consequence of the grace of God. So in spite of all these false apparitions,
right?
You know, so if you... you know, if you are not going to follow it, then, you know, it's kind of a defiant act of disobedience compatible to what the non servium of what Satan himself said when he fell. And I know this is emotional. Let's try to stick with the facts.
Yeah, just the facts.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall-to-wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. We are talking about Medjugorje and some of the things that are coming out. And I wanted to give you my take on it, just like some of the things.
Go ahead, because then I want to jump in and say something also.
Okay. So some things that give me pause. When I look at all the other approved apparitions, you know, Fatima, Lourdes, La Salette, the seers, their lives were drastically changed. You know, at Fatima, you had Jacinta and Francisco, they were told they were going to die young. But and Jacinta, she was exhumed and she was incorrupt. Lucia became a nun. You know, Bernadette at Lourdes became a nun. Melanie Calvat at La Salette became a nun. Our Lady appeared to Sister Sasagawa. You know, she appeared to Maria Torres in Quito, you know, Ecuador. She was already a nun. Not that she can't appear to just to anyone that's not religious, but their lives have been different. And then not to say that the vocation of marriage is that marriage is not a vocation. It certainly is. I'm just saying. I look at things. Look, Juan Diego became a saint at Guadalupe. The other thing too that I look at is that, you know, like you said initially, I've never seen apparitions that have gone on and on and on and on. And it gives me reason to think, you know, something could be fishy here. And then, you know, when they're calling Our Lady of Medjugorje the Our Lady of Peace, well, has there been peace in that region? And this happened in 1981, and we had one of the worst wars, you know, and the Bosnia and Serbia and all those the wars that were going on there afterwards. When you saw it, Fatima, remember what happened after that was the government that was in charge, the secular government, were Freemasons, and they were you know really coming down hard on the church. And after Fatima, Our Lady, she brought some peace. They stopped attacking the church like they are. In fact, Portugal is one of the most Catholic countries now, you know. And so I don't see that in Yugoslavia. That also concerned me. And so the other thing, too, is that you know, just recently, a couple of years ago, Archbishop Gomez here in L.A., he denied one of the seers a speaking engagement because he was going on tour to make money, to profit from this. And they've met, some of them have written books, and so they profited from them. And one of the seers said that Our Lady said that Orthodox and the Muslims were equal to her and to her son. And the church, that's contrary to what the church says, you know? Ivan, one of the seers in 1985, he was caught in a lie, and then they just kind of swept that under the carpet. They said, "Oh, you know, he's been under a lot of stress." But you know, as a detective for many, many years, Jesse, what in my estimation, witnesses are more credible in the beginning. You know, when you let them, you know, go long periods of time, their memory fades a little bit. The details of things become less accurate. And also you want to keep your witnesses and victims separate so that they don't get their stories together. These people have had years and years to get their stories together. And so when the Bishop of Poland comes in and says, they've been saying the same thing for 36 years. No, they haven't. You know, in the beginning, they were saying things that didn't meet the mustard, didn't cut the mustard with those first two bishops, you know. They're the first investigators in the scene. And it wasn't just them. They had a group of people investigating. It wasn't just one bishop. He had a commission of other priests and bishops. So As an investigator myself, I'm leery of it. And I know, like I said in the last segment, I have good friends that really believe in it, and they're trying to persuade me. I said, please give me what you have, because you know, if I'm not seeing something, let me, you know, I want to see, I want to know. I'm not trying to be negative about it, but all these things put together give me pause. Go ahead, Jeff.
Ruben, Cardinal Mueller, who used to be part of the he was a prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, and also Archbishop Carlo Vigano, who was the former apostolic nuncio here in the U.S.
That's right.
They're the ones that actually stopped Ivan Draghi Vecik, one of the alleged visionaries. They stopped him from making public appearances and speaking because, like you said, he was a cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, here's what Archbishop Vigano, he writes in this letter, and it was supported. This letter was supported with the authority of Cardinal Mueller, from the prefect from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
I like him.
He writes this. One of the so-called visionaries of Medjugorje, Mr. Ivan Draghi Sevic, is scheduled to appear at certain parishes around the country, during which time he will make presentations regarding the phenomenon of Medjugorje. It is anticipated, moreover, that Mr. Dragejevic will be receiving apparitions during these scheduled appearances. Concern about the reported apparitions during public events is what occasioned this letter. In other words, the church finally said, wait a minute, here's what's happening, is Ivan, who's now, you know, he's a lot older, he's not a kid no more, he's, you know, he's an adult. When he goes to different events, he'll tell the attendees, Mary's going to appear to me at 3 p.m., so have a room ready for me for the scheduled apparition. And this, the bishops and the CDF and the apostolic nuncio finally started saying, wait a minute, is this microphone on? Wherever you go, you have a scheduled meeting with Mary, and she appears at your whim. This is what got him in real trouble, and I've actually seen this. I spoke at one Medjugorje Peace Conference probably about 12 years ago over in Irvine when they used to have them. They no longer have them because they're the people that I know, they're in obedience to what the church has taught. You can't be promoting Medjugorje as if something, as if it's a supernatural event. So they stopped that conference. But I spoke at one about 12 years ago, and Ivan was there. So I went and gave a talk about the biblical similarities between Jesus and Mary. I gave a deep apologetic understanding from the New Testament of the way the mother and son are inseparable, and all the passages of Scripture which show the way that Mary imitates Jesus perfectly. Yvonne comes up after me, you know, and, you know, I'll just throw it out there. I got $250 to go speak there, okay? So I'll put it out there. Full disclosure, okay? Gave an hour talk, 5,000 people. I was happy. Hey, $250, thanks be to God. You know,
yep.
buy some frijoles, okay? Pay, put some tortillas on the table. Yeah. Yvonne comes in after me, and he pulls up in a limousine. I'm like, wow, okay. There's all kinds of bodyguards around him.
Rock star.
I'm like, okay. People are falling on their knees and swooning. There's, you thought Elvis was walking in, okay? I'm telling you, you know, like.
Wow.
And then they had a room. They all escorted him. You know, there's a bit, he has these, all these bodyguards. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. He walked into a room. They said, okay, it's 2:55. Mary's going to appear to him at 3 o'clock. People were crying. People were swooning. People were on their floor prostrate. They're praying the rosaries. They're holding their hands up in the air. He goes in a room by himself. He looks up. He holds his hands up for about 5 minutes. You can hear him saying something. He comes out in 10 minutes. The person that invited him said, Yvonne, they have a microphone. What did she say? They're all crying. I'm looking at all this. I'm saying, something's fishy here. I mean, 5,000. What did she say? What did she say?
Yeah.
He said, Mary says that she loves you very much, and to pray your rosary. He was escorted back to the limousine, took him back to the airport, and they flew him back to Yugoslavia. I'm putting this out. After the meeting, they had a big meeting after. They invited me, a little dinner for the speakers and stuff. He was gone. He was already gone. I asked one of the people, because I know the board of directors right there, the people that invited him, and I just kind of was curious. I'm saying, hey, I'm just kind of curious. None of my business. You don't have to answer me. But hey, I mean, what kind of a stipend did you guys pay Yvonne? I mean, I said, yeah, probably about $300, $400. He says, oh, no, we paid him $30,000.
What?
I said, okay. They go, oh, yeah, that was his fee. What? I said, oh, okay. I didn't say nothing. I went home, and I said, this guy came from Yugoslavia to Irvine in Orange County, gave a 10-minute, he looked up in the air, came out and said, Mary loves you very much, pray the rosary, got back in his limousine, and they put $30,000 in cash in a bag and gave it to him. I was there. I saw it. So you're talking about somebody who saw this. Reuben, it was at that moment where I said to myself, this is 12 years ago, I said, something's fishy about Medjugorje. This guy's not a saint. This guy's not pursuing a life of holiness. In fact, that he, you know, at that moment, I became very sour. And I got invited the year after that. I said, I can't go. Why not? Why not? I can't go. And so, again, this is why Archbishop Vigano and Cardinal Mueller, this is why they put the kibosh on this. Because, again, now, I had a talk with Father Groeschel, rest in peace. He actually agrees with the Ruini Commission. And this is the final say on Medjugorje. It's not going to change, trust me. In 2017, the Ruini Commission basically says that the first 7 days were authentic, the first seven apparitions. Everything after the first 7 days onwards, the commission, there was zero votes by 14 of the bishops that were there in the commission. Of the 14 bishops, all 14 said after the first 7 days, nothing happened. Zero votes in favor of anything supernatural after the first 7 days. I think that's going to be the definitive statement on Medjugorje, in my opinion. It's not going to change. Father Groeschel told me this about 10 years ago. He says, I believe something happened for a few days. And after that, it became hubris, concupiscence kicked in. And they're saying, wow, this could make us rock stars from being absolute nobodies on planet Earth. And we could be absolutely somebodies. And this launched them into basically an international spotlight. And their fallen nature, our concupiscence, it got the best of them. And they just perpetuated this for the last 30-some odd years. Yeah, that's my take, Reuben.
Yeah, Jess, but this is from the same, the first seven apparitions were authentic. Well, it's the same pontificate. It's the same, the leadership that was saying there's nothing wrong with the Pachamama in Vatican. So I'm... Jesse, I'm just trying to be objective here, and the credibility of what's coming out is Jess. I'm just being honest, man. Just the facts.
You're
looking at things.
You're killing me.
You know what? That's just my take. I'm not a scholar. I'm not.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you. This is not going to change. This Ruini Commission will be here till. In 1,000 years, they're going to say the first 7 days something happened. There was something supernatural. After that, as President Trump says, fake news.
Like my friend, good friend says, come on, man.
What's up next, Reuben?
Yeah, what's up next is Gary Mashuda on Hands On Apologetics. It's good. We've been having fun here, and we're talking things about the faith, about Medjugorje, and listen to the church. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.